What up, everybody? Welcome to the corner. I'm Kel Dansby.
And I'm Andreas Hill.
And we're just two journalists who cover wrestling, boxing, and MMA, but we also love hip-hop. On today's show, we are talking about NXT Brooklyn, WWE SummerSlam, Weidman versus Jon Jones, and we got to start off with Straight Outta Compton. But first, we're here at the Agenda Convention in Las Vegas at the Venetian.
Yeah, Agenda Trade Show, where all the fashion bigwigs come out, streetwear, Magic Convention's down the street where all the fashion cats are at. So we're just kind of in the mix. We're going to get through this show today so we can go look at some gear. All I've seen was a bunch of flashy underwear, though. That's all I'm seeing out here.
You're at the wrong spots.
Nah, man. Wait. When you go in there, the craze last year was socks. Now it's underwear. Everybody matching their underwear. This shit is kind of corny, but, you know.
Hey, they got to do what they got to do. Nike had a dope spot yesterday where they showed a lot of their collection. Reebok is out here. Shout out to Puma for a really cool event I went to the other night. Rich Homie Quan or some one of the young kids. I forgot who the hell it was.
Name one, they all the same.
Oh, Travis Scott. That's who it was. I knew like one song the whole night. That's how I know I'm old and washed. But that was dope. So shout out to everyone. And so let's breeze through this show. Yo, we got to start with Straight Outta Compton. Now we've both seen it.
Yes.
Andres saw it after last week's episode.
Exactly.
And it was dope. It was dope. I'm not mad at it at all. It's finally good to see a good representation of something that actually happened.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those movies where before going in, I was a little concerned about when they talked about not having the D. Barnes incident, not having, like, the misogyny. But then you watch the movie and you're like, well, shit, I don't want this thing to be about 5.5 hours long. So many subplots. Like, you know, there's so many. Arabian Prince wasn't in there. There's, like, mad people that weren't in the movie. Like, they didn't talk about the Biggie Pac thing. There was a lot of things missing. But it's a movie. I got to be entertained. I'm not here for a documentary. I can watch this shit on VH1.
Yeah, like, they. It seemed like it was a good pace, and then they kind of sped it up at the end. And then they skipped over a lot of stuff. I'm not mad at it, though. And, you know, Dr. Dre and Ice Cube, they only showed really the good parts of the shit they did. Like you said, the whole D spot was left out. You don't want to show Dr. Dre slapping somebody. And you can't do that.
Well, I mean, what was it going to do at the end of the day? Like, that's a whole nother movie. It wasn't the Dr. Dre show. It was a movie about NWA. And, like I said, you can't service all those subplots. And I was watching the VH1 Rock Doc the other day, and the movie is literally beat for beat the VH1 Rock Doc. Like, from top to bottom, everything that's covered in the Rock Doc is covered in the movie. So it's about time we get a movie that kind of validates our era, because it's just not going to be in our history books, our kids' history books. They're not going to talk about NWA, just like they don't talk about Marcus Garvey, the Black Panther Party, or hardly talk about Malcolm X. It's all left out, so the only way you could document this is through a movie. So it's entertaining, but at the same time, it's funny. I'm sitting at the theater, and I'm looking at, you know, younger kids that saw the Rodney King thing, and they were like, they got away with that? And I'm like, the irony of you saying that, and motherfuckers is getting shot every day by the police. They're getting killed on camera and
still,
not going to jail.
Still.
This is almost 30 years ago. This is like 25 years ago. It's like, yo, like, I can't believe y'all still surprised by all this stuff. Like, the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, at the end of the day, that's what you see in this movie.
Yo, I've seen a lot of 14, 15-year-old kids bumping NWA lately.
Yeah.
Just mad Eazy-E playing. And I'm just like, what do y'all know about this? But it's dope that it's bringing it to, like, a younger generation. Kids who weren't even born yet.
Exactly.
Kids who were born in 2000 bumping Eazy-E like this shit's new. Like, it's the first time hearing it.
It's like having a stream of conscience at a certain point. It's like, when you see your history visualized, for me, it validates what I've been through and the things that I've grew up with and the music that I associated myself with. It took a lot of things after and applied to my life. And when I first heard NWA and I first heard Fuck the Police, it was like, oh, what's wrong with the police? And I'm a kid, and I'm like reading books and like watching the news. And New York was like Hudson Beach and Howard Beach and all those things that was going on. And you're like, oh, this is important, and this music motivated me to do things. Like, everybody says you grow up and your parents raise you. Well, I wasn't raised by my parents like that. I was raised by hip-hop and the television.
Word.
And the things that I saw on TV affected me, you know, for better or worse. So to see a movie like this come out and to see it do well, $58 million at the box office, it validates our existence. And hip-hop was never really a fad. It was, you know, street culture.
Yeah, yo, and they did it right. That's the key. Like, finally we get a good representation of something, not something that's just going to be spun on BET 18
and ruined,
times
and
in fucking 1 week or something. So it was dope. See that it did numbers. Hopefully we get more stuff like that. You know, I don't want Puff to do it, but it'd be dope if they did a whole Bad Boy era joint.
I'm cool. You can have that. I want a Public Enemy movie. That's what I want next.
Public
I want
Enemy.
A Public Enemy movie.
There's just a lot from back then. even if you go like the origins of hip hop, just give a great movie about that.
Of course.
Like early NY hip hop and all that shit. That'd be great for the culture. And this movie, we'll see if it stands the test of time. Like, everyone's hype about it now. We'll see where it falls into place.
I think so, man. If, I mean, I grow up seeing a lot of hood flicks. So it's like, to see this one, F. Gary Gray did a great job. It's ironic, though, to see F. Gary Gray filming the son of the guy who wrote the movie that he directed, which is Friday.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and to watch his son playing Ice Cube right in the movie Friday, it's so meta. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
It's the best part of the movie, though. Cube's son just killed it.
He looks just like his dad.
Yo, stole the show, mannerisms, everything. That show was great.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Talking about the hood movies that we grew up with and how they molded us, pound for pound this week, top five hood movies.
Classics, all right.
The classic joints.
This is easy for me.
I know people are just going to kill my list. I'll go, for me, yo, it's tough. It's tough. But number one, I got Paid in Full. Just being in NY and just what it meant to everyone, Paid in Full is up there. I watch Paid in Full every day if you let me. Paid in Full is one. Two is New Jack City.
Okay.
It's because Nino took the car. Come on, man. Let's go, Nino. Three, we have Boys in the Hood is three.
Okay.
And that's number one on a lot of people's list. But I ain't grow up on the West Coast. I grew up in the East. That's what happens. Boys in the Hood, three. Four, I'll go Paid in Full was one. Menace to Society is four.
Okay.
Menace was dope. And then five, I'll go Belly.
Damn,
my list.
Belly. Okay. Well, my number one movie, which you failed to name, and I watched it to nausea, was Juice. That's my number one.
Ooh, Juice, yeah.
Juice is my favorite movie, like, ever. Because I was a hip-hop kid, and to see DJ, I wanted to be a DJ. Everybody wanted to be like GQ after that movie was over. So number one is Juice. Running a very close second is Boys in the Hood. Boys in the Hood is honestly responsible for me wanting to go to Morehouse. When Trey wanted to go to Morehouse at the end of that movie, between Boys in the Hood and Outkast, I was like, I'm going to Atlanta. Like, I'm going to Morehouse. That's what I want to do. Three would have to be Menace, just because I just watched it way too many times, and I know it damn near word for word. And, you know, like, growing up on the West Coast, it's just, you just see that movie. It was just, I mean, it was, Lorenz Tate was phenomenal as Old Dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, Tyron Turner is Kane. He never did anything else after that. But Lorenz Tate as Old Dog was excellent. We have four. I see you put City of God on the list, but I can't call it a hood flick because that would end up being number one on my list.
City of God, but that's like international hood.
Yeah,
that's like that shows you hood from other places hood.
That's next level. Like,
yeah. Another joint I forgot, which was close to my list, was Dead Presidents. Dead Presidents was a close five.
Yeah, yeah. Dead Presidents was dope.
It might be six.
Let me see. Where am I at? Four is New Jack City. Of course, the speech that Wesley Snipes gives at the end of the damn movie.
Incredible.
It made me pick up a book. I love movies that make me think. So, yeah. Four, New Jack City. Five is tough, man. It's between Paid in Full and Set It Off. Like, I was big on Set It Off.
Set It Off was huge. Set It Off is underrated.
It's severely underrated
because it's women.
Yeah, because it's women. And the performances in that movie were great. Vivica Fox was great. Queen Latifah was great. Lisa Neal, like, everybody was dope in that movie. Jada Pinkett, of course. Blair Underwood's in the damn movie. And it makes you realize how old you are when you go back
and
see all those casts in the movie. So Set It Off, I'll give Set It Off the nod over Paid in Full, even though Paid in Full was a great, 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 great movie.
Damn, so Juice for me is like seven. It's like number one for you.
Dog, I love Juice. Pac is Bishop in Juice. Like, I quote Juice all the time.
I hated Pac in that movie, though.
But he's like, so good.
With a passion.
He was so good as Bishop. Bishop!
Yo,
Riverside, motherfucker. Yo, I love that movie.
That's our list. I know people are going to be tweeting us with their list the whole time. Because everyone got an opinion. No one's going to have the same list.
Of course.
You guys can tweet us yours at The Corner LSN on Twitter. You can hit us up individually. That's going to be a good topic all week.
Yeah. If somebody hits me and says Baby Boy is like their favorite movie, like, you're automatically getting your email deleted and called out on the show.
Word. Trading Day is up there. I don't know if that's a hood movie, though.
Call
it's
it
like
a hood
too
flick.
New.
Yeah. Nah.
But we'll see where Straight Outta Compton fits on the list, you know, as we go along.
Of course.
Now we got to talk about SummerSlam because it's wrestling.
Yeah.
Wrestling time. We got to give wrestlers just due. That's what the hell we're due here. And SummerSlam, it's had a nice build up. It's 4 hours long. I don't know how they're going to fill 4 hours worth of shit.
Jon Stewart's hosting. It's like a mega show. Jonathan Coachman's back in the mix.
ESPN is covering it.
Yo, it's crazy. It's crazy. So, I mean, we can start with the main event. But first, even before that, you see ESPN, Lesnar on ESPN saying Vince is better than Dana?
Yo, I saw that.
He right? Hey, Vince McMahon's got the longest running program. Like, it's every week that Vince McMahon has to do this. And Dana doesn't have to deal with
that. How much is Vince doing at this point?
I mean, shit, he don't have to do shit. How many years he put into this game? It's like 30 years, and it's family business. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, Vince McMahon knows what he's doing. To run a weekly show with never a break? Yeah. Yeah.
Continuous storylines. He's messed up a few times. But.
Of course he has. I mean, but he's always entertained. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I understand what Lesnar's saying. Like, Dana's calling it fake, but, yo, they packing houses every night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're packing arenas every night. UFC Fight Nights are doing like 5,000 people. Because Dana has a hard time juggling all this talent and trying to expose people to different talent. Which is funny because I talked to Josh Koscheck the other day because he went over to Bellator, and that was his main gripe is there's too many shows. And Dana doesn't know how to service all the talent on these shows. Yeah. All the fighters don't get their just due.
It's not enough time, not enough buildup, not enough attachment to get to know everyone that's headlining.
They haven't figured it out yet.
There's another show this week in Saskatoon or whatever, somewhere in Canada.
Max Holloway's headlining that show, which is a great card.
Good personality, could sell, someone people should know of.
But they don't.
But there's not enough time.
No,
it's just really not. Everyone's still talking about Ronda.
So that's what I'm saying. So Vince McMahon has known what he's doing for a long time. Dana's still trying to figure it out. The UFC still, in my opinion, has way too many shows, and there's just way too many people that you got to deal with, and they're not building enough stars outside of the octagon.
Word. So, but SummerSlam.
Yes,
back on topic. SummerSlam, Lesnar, Taker. Taker looks like he's 80 years old, yo. I don't believe it.
And that's
really
why he keeps
don't.
Kicking him in the nuts, though. Like, Taker's got to go with a low blow because he can't just out-muscle Lesnar. Like, it's going to be a grimy fight. It's going to be a no DQ. By the time we get to the match, it better be a no DQ because there's no way Taker's winning this match straight up.
You think Taker's winning it at all? Are you going to go with your usual somebody's getting DQ'd stance if it's not
in this one. Somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to win. However, the interesting thing about it is, the way it played off on Monday Night Raw was Taker was the heel and getting one over on Lesnar. Usually, when you get one over on whoever the Monday Night Raw before pay-per-view, you're going to lose.
Yep.
But I have a hard time digesting that Lesnar's about to go 2-0 against The Undertaker.
Yo, I believe it.
I want to believe it, but I just think that something...
Yeah, he's not going over clean.
No, he won't go over clean.
You know what I think? And I've been thinking about this. I'm like, yo, how do you even end this shit? I think Sting has to come out.
That's whack.
I think Sting has to come out and give Taker the business, hit him with a bat. Lesnar F5s him. Lesnar wins. And you set up Sting, Taker for WrestleMania. And that's
the
what they want to do.
Convention, is that what we're doing? Like, yo, both guys come out and depends. Like, hey, what are we doing?
It worked last year.
No matter what, after seeing Taker against Wyatt and after watching Sting against Triple H, there's no way I want to see them fight.
No one's carrying anyone.
No.
But the names are what they want. And they want viewers, and it's WrestleMania, it's in Dallas, it's going to be amazing.
They want Sting from the Raptors. It's 7 years too late.
A lot of shit they do is 7 years too late.
I know, but
it's the nostalgia of it.
I'm just trying to figure out where Lesnar goes from here. Because once Lesnar's done with Taker, it's not like they're going to have a rematch at Hell in... Well, they could have a rematch at Hell in the Cell, actually, now that I think about it.
That'd be good.
Maybe that's what we're going to see.
That's a lot of Taker, though. There's a lot of mileage on that.
Yo, Taker's already reached his peak. You know, the shocks are burnt out. The brake
pads
are bad. I
don't
want to
see Lesnar F5 him off of the Cell. Like, he's going to kill him.
He'll turn to dust. Maybe Kane intervenes in this match because he's been gone for a minute. Something's got to happen. There's just no way Taker goes over clean.
Yeah, I think Taker loses, though. Same reason.
I hope
so. Like you said, when it's built up like that, you usually lose. And Brock has the brighter future heading into next year than Taker. Brock can't take the L.
Of course.
He's a beast right now. You got to keep him a beast.
Yep.
The other match that should be headlining, but Vince is Vince and loves parading around.
Cena and Rollins shouldn't be headlining.
A spectacle. Cena versus Rollins. Cena's the best worker so far this year in the company.
I know.
And Rollins is, quote-unquote, the future, and it's title versus title. There's no way in hell this shouldn't be headlining.
I'll explain.
And right now, CM Punk is somewhere flipping off Vince McMahon yelling, "I told you so."
Nah, see, here's the problem. Go back to WrestleMania in Toronto. I think that was Triple H and Jericho. They headlined. Who was the match before them? The Rock and Hogan.
Yeah.
The air was out of the building before the main event went on. You don't want that to happen because you know Lesnar and Taker's going to – whatever happens, they're going to bring it. And just like at WrestleMania when Taker lost, the air was completely sucked out of the building by the time
– They put the Divas on after that?
They had to because they were dead. It was RIP, dead on arrival. There was no, the toe tag that shit. The next match was done. So, like, if you put Taker and Lesnar on before them and they have a great match and for some reason Cena and Rollins has a lull, fans ain't going to be with it. It's a special attraction match. I get it. In any other universe, I figure, yeah, Cena and Rollins should have it. Because, I mean, Rollins is going to put on a show.
Yeah.
As long as he fucking doesn't lose. That's the only problem I'm going to have if Rollins loses.
Rollins has to lose.
No, he doesn't. Why?
Cena's going to lose the belt.
Yes.
I can't see this shit.
Yo, chicken shit heel needs to go over clean. He's had a hard time going over clean.
No one goes over on Super Cena.
That's why
Not
he's
clean.
Got Not and no heels go over on Cena. If you really look at the history of it, it's always like a face that goes
Unless
over on
this
Cena.
This is a trilogy type shit, but I don't see it.
Rollins needs to go over clean because they've built up so much with Cena's comeback and Rollins as being a chicken shit and the douchebag and never can win a match clean to being a fraud. He's got to win. He's got to win this match.
That's rough.
And Cena, dog, I've had enough of Cena being champ. Cena being champ, it's like we're back in the laundry room. We're going through the same cycle of shit with Cena being the champ again.
And I think they try to build up Cena as high as you can to in turn build up the golden boy Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
I think Reigns is over for the time being.
Yo, you know what? I think they're trying to slow push. They're trying to teach. You know, he has to learn.
It ain't working.
And if Cena beats Rollins, then you get Cena versus Lesnar again when Lesnar fucking annihilated him last time.
See, I don't want that.
And if Super Cena can go over on Lesnar, whoever takes the belt from Cena then becomes the it guy. Whether it's, you know, Reigns or Rollins again at Mania or someone like a Finn Balor who they want to give the crazy quick push, whoever beats Cena for that title, he'd be so elevated that they're automatically the real deal.
Everything
about
face
of the company.
Everything about that is corny. I don't like it.
This is the fucking WWE. Half of it is corny.
But I don't
anything with John Cena is corny. First of all,
but
everything
that's
with
why
John Cena is corny.
Like we're talking
besides the open challenge, everything is corny.
That's what I'm saying. Like Cena needs to elevate mid card talent. Like that's what he's been doing. Keep him there. Have him lose somehow. Whatever. Get the belt back some kind of weird way. But no. Like, Rollins has a plethora of talent to go up against. Like, there's fresher matches for Rollins as the champ, as a heel. Without the belt, Rollins is not the same Rollins.
That's the case for anyone, though.
No. Guys can go without having the belt and still
Bray Wyatt. Who else?
This is a great example. That's what I'm saying. There's no
that's
real
it.
Heels. But it's like for
Reigns
Cena.
Would be so much better if he just had a belt.
He doesn't need a belt right now. Like, what are you going to give him?
Give him the IC belt. Anyone needs the IC belt.
Well, yeah, of course. Like, that shit is bullshit. But what I'm saying is, like, if Seth Rollins wins the title and they go to Hell in a Cell, because that makes sense, Cena Rollins, Hell in a Cell, because Cena wants to get it. And he still doesn't get it. You got Cesaro. There's so many guys.
Owens.
You got so many guys who can go after Rollins where it's fresh, whereas with Cena, it's like we've seen pretty much everybody. And somewhere in this mix, Sheamus has got to cash in that goddamn Money in the Bank briefcase.
He has to cash it in and lose, yes.
Because it's arbitrary at this point. Because him winning the title would just get the shit booed out of him and everybody else. Like, who wants to see Sheamus' title? It's all about the new talent. So I'm picking Rollins to win. I hope he wins. I hope he wins clean because he needs it. He loses, he's going to turn into The Miz. And that's not what I want to see.
I don't want to see something like,
yeah,
it's
The Miz? Come on, man.
No one can be The Miz. What else? You mentioned Cesaro, yo. Him versus Owens.
Owens can't lose back-to-back nights.
Oh, okay. That's what I was about to say.
That's
Owens,
all I'm going
to
say about
we're
that.
We're going to talk a little more about NXT in a little while, but Owens has to beat Cesaro, right?
Yeah, he has to. Him losing back-to-back nights, plus all like the turmoil that they're talking about backstage where people are split on whether they like Owens or they hate him because of his weight or whatever. Owens is like the best heel that you have on the roster besides Rollins. And Owens is the only heel that can stand on his own, too. Rollins still got to lean on Triple H.
Yeah.
Owens losing two nights in a row makes absolutely no sense, especially after he beat Cena. Like, has he won? He hasn't won a meaningful match since.
No.
So
he's
got to win.
He's backed out of matches or ran.
Like, I don't care how he wins. He's got to win. I think it's going to be the match of the night. Cesaro's been looking excellent.
they've both been pulling moves out that are just crazy. Their movesets are bananas.
Like,
right,
this feud, like, I don't want to see them meet again for a long time, because that's like title battle type shit right there. Like, I don't want to see them fighting on Raw. I don't want to see them middling pay-per-views. Like, split them up and have their own, go their own separate ways. Make Cesaro have a run for the U.S. title or something. Owens has got to be close to a title. Just no way that, like, whatever these guys do on Sunday, split them up and keep them both strong. If Owens has to go over on, like, leaning on the ropes, I don't care. He just can't lose back-to-back nights.
Yeah, by any means necessary. Got to push Owens. And they bury NXT talent really quick sometimes.
Yeah.
And he can't be that guy.
No,
he's too
him.
Good to be that guy. And then, let's see, what other matches do we have? We have Ryback versus Miz versus Big Show.
I don't care.
You can't wait for it.
Yo, I don't care if an anvil drops on all three of them. I don't care if they just stand there and look at each other. I don't. That's my piss break.
You don't like the Feed Me More?
Not dog. The women's match, the Divas match, used to be my bathroom break or like my eat break. Or whatever the fuck I'm doing break. This is my break. Like, I care nothing about this match
whatsoever.
No one
cares about this shit.
I don't care.
And hopefully The Miz wins. It's that bad where I'd rather The Miz win the title. Because at least he can talk and make a funny... I mean, he's a heel. He'll make whoever's going against him next really interesting. If it's Neville, maybe Neville will get, like, some good play.
No, I don't
Cesaro,
care.
Cesaro, I don't care.
You know what?
The Miz has to win.
I would just like to see Sheamus cash in his Money on the Bank on the Intercontinental title, because he can't win the – like, go win the Intercontinental title and do some shit like that. I just don't – I don't want to see that.
Talking about Sheamus, we have Sheamus versus Orton. Orton wins again.
He should. Well, Sheamus got to win sooner or later.
You would think.
Yeah, like, he's just –
But fuck Sheamus.
He's been getting bodied. Like, every week he gets bodied.
Every time. But he has Money in the Bank. As long as you have Money in the Bank, you can just lose, right? Because sooner or later, you're going to cash it in.
Yeah,
you're just Mr. Money in the Bank. That's your stick. You don't got
to
win.
But you got to, like, to win the Money in the Bank, like, you got to lose and then cash it in at the same event. Like, when I saw Rollins lose at Mania, I was like, he's probably going to cash in tonight. Sheamus isn't that type of guy. Sheamus is that guy where, like, just nobody gives a shit. Like, nobody's going to pop with him cashing in the briefcase. Like, nobody gives a fuck. Like, Conor McGregor doesn't like him. Nobody likes Sheamus. So... Orton should actually lose this match because he's been looking really strong lately. But Sheamus sucks. Even with his weird look, he still sucks.
All right, we got Dolph Ziggler, Rusev, maybe.
Ziggler should go over.
I'd like Rusev to crush him.
They've ruined Rusev. I've given up.
You don't like the friendly Rusev?
I don't like anything that they've done with Rusev. I don't like Rusev in boots.
Crying over a girl.
I don't like anything. Like, ever since he lost to Cena, I'm done with Rusev. I'm
you
done.
Want barefoot Rusev again?
I want barefoot Rusev. I don't want him like...
No Bulgaria? You want like Mother Russia Rusev?
Yeah, I want Mother Russia Rusev. I don't want Summer Rae. Like, get her out of the paint. I don't want no more Lana. Like, I want Rusev.
They ruined Lana.
They ruined everything.
Lana's not even sexy anymore.
So, look, Ziggler should go over because he just should, and he needs to win a meaningful match, and Rusev
You know my disdain for Dolph Ziggler.
Huh? I don't trust your opinion on nothing like that.
What about the women's match then? We got the, you know, I want Bay to win just because.
Well,
Bay.
It's an elimination
match. What up,
Sasha? It's an elimination. So.
Yeah, so the last three are going to be NXT chicks?
No. The Bellas aren't going to get eliminated. Nikki's going to be in there.
Nikki's, all right.
This is the problem with this Diva Revolution. As much as I love it, I'm tired of this circle jerk of like, you're going to win this week, and you're going to win. Like, everybody's got to look strong. Sooner or later, you got to split them apart, and somebody's got to lose. Becky Lynch has to lose. Somebody's got to lose.
The NXT girls haven't lost yet.
No, and it's silly. Not because
they're
all strong.
They haven't been pinned. Nothing. I mean, they always beat someone else.
They have to go on their own path. It's, like, keeping them all together and fighting each other all the time is stupid. Like, split them up. Let them go their own ways. As for the match, Charlotte's probably going to win because she's over.
Charlotte always wins. Because
Charlotte will win, and then it'll be her and Nikki Bella, and she'll eventually win the title, and then Sasha Banks will come in, yada, yada, yada. Because Sasha Banks is losing at NXT TakeOver. We'll talk about that later. But Sasha Banks got to lose the strap.
Oh, yeah.
She's main roster now. But as much as I like Sasha, Charlotte's like the golden girl for the Divas division. So,
what else did we forget in SummerSlam? We have Family versus Family.
Yeah, the Wyatt family. Well, we got the Wyatt family in the Shield. Another match where I kind of don't care who wins. I just want to see if it's any good.
Well, I have an interesting take on this, too, because I think this is the perfect time for Ambrose to turn heel.
Well, yeah, he's been so he's been so buddy buddy with Roman Reigns, it's disgusting.
And I think it's coming. And I think they lose, and you see Ambrose turn on Reigns, and that's the rivalry that carries us through the fall.
We
Reigns
need a new
versus
heel.
Ambrose, Hell in the Cell. There's some good shit between these two that can go. And the Wyatts, they're always whatever. Throw them in for whatever you need, and then keep it moving. So this Bray thing is gonna die out. And you're going to just see brother versus brother, quote unquote, with the Shield members turn on each other and elevate either Reigns or elevate Ambrose.
Well, at this point, I think Ambrose is the natural heel. He's always been the heel. He's been the Brian Pillman forever.
Yeah.
The loose cannon. So it only makes sense that he turns heel. Like, I've always felt Reigns needed to turn heel to give his ass some personality, but I just don't think it'll work. Like, Ambrose is that guy. So hopefully Ambrose turns on Reigns and costs him the match. They have a nice little feud, and Ambrose goes over because you need another hot heel because there's not enough of those.
Not enough.
So, yeah. But
if it finishes with Roman Reigns just catching a spear on Bray, then I'm going to be pissed, and it's going to be a wasted match.
Well, I'm tired of Bray losing. Yeah, I'm sick.
Yeah, I mean, Bray loses all damn time. They need to find something for Bray to do.
They do. They
really
need
to find someone for him to beat. I mean, he beat the Intercontinental Champion, and that shit never happened.
Yeah, so we got that. What else we missed? Oh, we got the
tag titles, the regular tag titles.
Yeah, I mean the
New Day rocks.
There's only two teams that can win this match.
Black people win again.
Only black people can win this match.
Yeah,
if
no,
you're
no
not
love
black,
for the Spanish people.
Hey, there are no white people in this match.
No, everyone's a minority.
Holy shit, this is a minority wrestling match with nothing but blacks.
Oh, Vince is hot right now too.
Now Vince probably did it as a joke. But
probably he can't wait for the Usos to come back. There's another minority. There's so much brown skin in there.
All minorities.
Like, we don't need another brown skin champion for years.
Yeah.
It's like, look what I did for you people.
New Day has to win. New Day has to win.
Yo, they're over again.
They're gonna always be over as long as they're relevant. And they can't continue to lose. Big E's eventually gonna have to break out and be a single star. But
define star.
Well, he's got to make a run at a title, like a real title.
U.S.
title, because he can go. Big E's big ass can go. That motherfucker's big.
Yo, he's big as shit.
He needs to wear pants sooner or later. Like, it's starting to look
that
weird.
That singlet.
Yeah, it's just not working.
It's a little too much.
Like, damn, son, chill. we also have Aaron Neville match, the Red Arrow and the Green Arrow.
Hey, that's interesting.
The Cosmic King Barrett, do something with him because I'm tired of him losing too. I don't know how that match goes, and I don't really care.
Nah.
I hope it's entertaining. Like, Stardust is
too weird for me. That's another guy who's just too weird for me.
I like
Stardust. You like that shit.
I like
Stardust.
I think Stardust has always been good. I think
just like Dalton Castle. Like,
yeah,
they can't do the crazy eccentric shit.
They just missed the bus with him and Goldust having a feud and facing each other in Mania. They completely missed the bus with that. So they'll probably lose. I mean, you got a celebrity in there, the guy, the Arrow. So whatever. I mean,
he'll hit the spear and win or some shit.
The Cosmic King, Wade Barrett. Just don't lose again. Like, you already lost to R-Truth. That's enough. Cut that shit out.
He's buried. He's damn near a step from going down to NXT.
Yeah,
and
it's
talking
bad.
About NXT, NXT Brooklyn, 13,000 tickets.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
This shit went from 0 to 100 real quick.
Yeah.
500, NXT is its own entity right
400
now.
People at Full Sail University every week, and they're filling 13,000. That's an accomplishment.
Hell yeah.
Big
Triple
big show.
H is doing his thing. And then there we have the ladder match. Kevin Owens, Finn Balor.
Balor has to win.
Balor has to.
Even though if Owens won, I wouldn't mind it one bit. However, somewhere in this mix, Hideo Itami has to get involved. I don't know where. I don't know if it's just after the match. But we got to figure out who attacks Hideo. And somebody's got to go heel. Something's got to happen. Something strange has got to happen in this match. Because if Itami comes back, he's got a feud with somebody.
Yeah.
It's got to be a title run. So it's either Owens or Balor that attacked him. Because if it ends up being somebody like Tyler Breeze, I won't give a shit. So, but Balor's just far too over right now. So maybe Itami doesn't know who attacked him and just turns
maybe
heel.
Maybe Itami attacks Balor. Balor loses the belt that way.
It's weird. It's a number
Owens
of things that can
happen.
Owens
takes the belt.
But I think Balor should win. I just wouldn't be that surprised. If Kevin Owens wins, then he's losing Cesaro. But he can't win. Because he has to win on back-to-back nights. You can't be the NXT champion and go to SummerSlam and then lose to Cesaro. That can't happen either.
That'd be weird, but it could happen.
It shouldn't. What else we have? The debut of Apollo Crews.
Apollo Crews.
I don't know who he's squashing, but somebody about to get their ass whooped.
Oh, God. It'll probably be, what is that? The chubby guy who's always cutting promos to lose weight.
Bull Dempsey?
Bull Dempsey.
Yeah, it might be. It might be.
Rhino doing anything?
Yeah, it's like he got beat up by Samoa Joe. So, yeah, maybe Rhino. Whoever it is, Apollo Crews got to go over. But it's probably going to be some squash match. Cause
yeah.
Everybody
just show
else,
off his moveset.
Yeah.
Let him flex.
And he'll smile.
Let
he
him be black. Yeah.
Like, Azuha Nation, I was like, yo, he smiles a lot. And that's cool in the indies, but the WWE is a big black man. You got to
Be mean? That's what you say? You got to play a stereotype for Vince?
He just smiles a lot. He's like.
Just sit him down. Let him watch Straight Outta Compton like 3 times back to back. And then come in and be like, be that.
You do what you got to do. It's just there's a lot of faces in NXT right now. I don't want him to be a heel necessarily. I'm not talking about him. But.
Joe has to be a heel sooner or later, even though he's super
Joe's
over.
Going to be a heel. That's, like, inevitable. Because he came in, was supposed to feud with Owens. They ditched that, sent Owens to the main roster. And Joe's been in this weird limbo, so it's like, he's got to go heel.
I like the Corbin feud, though.
Yeah, I hope
Because Corbin's been building for so long, just squashing people, and he's not it.
He sucks.
So he's been building for someone to squash him, and Joe's perfect.
Yeah, Joe should beat the shit out of Baron Corbin, take him in his weird-ass pants, and send his ass back to the locker room. I hope it's interesting because Corbin's not really good for extended matches. We'll see how it plays out.
So we have that. We have Bayley taking on Bay, Sasha Banks. Sasha got to lose. It breaks my heart, but Sasha got
to
lose.
Yeah, the Bayley to belly off the top rope. It should be like a show stealing match.
Yeah,
be excellent because Bayley can go.
Oh yeah, Bayley's the best left.
No, she's like all that.
Like
left.
She broke her wrists. And then everybody else gets pulled up, and she's just down there looking like, what the fuck just happened?
There's nobody left. It's her, like Dana, like Eva Marie.
Eva Marie, and she's like, I got to wrestle Eva Marie every goddamn week now.
Yo, I heard she's going to be at wrestling at TakeOver. You know,
Eva Marie?
Yeah.
That's my bathroom, bro.
I will watch that to see New York unleash their fury on Eva Marie.
Unleash the fury.
It's going to be so bad because she sucks.
She is horrible.
She looks like she thinks about every move. Every single move she
and
thinks
her
about.
Hair is whack.
Yeah, she's terrible.
And then we got Samoa Joe versus Corbin. We talked about that. That's about it. I don't know
we
what
got
the
tag team match. The Vaude Villains. And I always forget their name. Just I always forget what they look like.
Shit. I don't know. They're really excited and they listen to EDM.
Yeah.
It looks like they're just like super broed out.
I don't know why I can't think right now. It's literally a brain fart.
Yeah, yo, you threw me off. I know their names too. Shit, I don't know.
I just know they got Alexa Bliss with them.
Yep.
And that's all that matters. And
they're a good tag team, though.
Yeah,
they can go.
Whatever. I don't care. Like, it's another match where, like, I like the Vaude Villains. It feels weird that they're faces right now. I don't know what they're going to pull out as their secret weapon to stop Alexa Bliss. Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's another match where I'm just kind of like, whoever wins, wins. Great. Fantastic.
It's all building up to the main event, and we kind of just want to see some old Joe.
True.
So that's wrestling. Real quick, before we switch gears, G1 Climax.
Yes, man.
It's over.
It's over. And Tanahashi has won the G1 Climax tournament. For those who don't watch New Japan Wrestling, you're just going to be completely fucking lost. So
you got time. Catch up on that shit.
Yeah.
Do your Googles.
Do your Googles or something. But it looked like the whole event was built for Nakamura to win. From the time he lost to Goto, the Intercontinental strap there, it looked like he was being built to make a run at the heavyweight title that Okada currently holds. And him beating Okada on night 18 with an armbar making him submit was like, oh, well, he's got to go over. The thing is that
it's so technical, too. Like, even by armbar.
It was such a good match. Like, the last stretch of G1 matches were amazing. And, by the way, Michael Elgin has a new home. He needs to leave all
Elgin's
that shit.
Good. Yeah.
Yo, he was phenomenal in this tournament. His match with Ishii was amazing. Like, yo, he had great matches. For a dude that went in and basically told everybody, shut the fuck up, let me do my thing, and I'll prove to y'all that I can go, he did his thing in G1. Between him and Naito, with Naito's new I don't give a fuck stick, I love it. And those are the two MVPs.
Elgin just has to find, like, that character, though. Like, you can only be you to an extent, you know?
In New Japan, it doesn't matter.
In New Japan, it doesn't matter.
Like, let
but
him
to build off of that again.
Dude's a brute.
No one's going to let him just be him in that way. Unless you just come in and be like a complete asshole. Like,
yeah.
People like that.
Well, back to Tanahashi winning. So, him and Nakamura, first of all, had a 5-star match. That final was amazing. The last 10 minutes were ridiculous. The boombayes and high lows and everything, like reversals, it was sick. Just like the Tanahashi-AJ Styles match. I know a lot of people were pissed that AJ lost. but you don't really want
to. I didn't think AJ was going to win like that anyway. I mean, he's been wrestling good enough to have won the tournament. You could have been like, okay.
Well, I mean, it's a booking thing because AJ and Nakamura is a program waiting to happen down the line, not right now. So Tanahashi, the reason why he won is that he beat Okada at Wrestle Kingdom, I think it was the year before last. So it's Okada getting his redemption because he had his heart broken against Tanahashi. Tanahashi's old as shit, and most people came into the tournament.
That's why you thought he wasn't going to win.
Most people thought his back wouldn't hold up. He's got a bad back. But he showed out. He had great matches. His match with Nakamura shocked everybody, but it was an amazing match. So I just don't know what they do with Nakamura now. Like, you built him up this much for him to lose in the final, and Okada's next two title matches are pretty much set up. So he's got Tenryu, who's going to wrestle probably the next whatever. I can't remember the name of it, Destruction, Devastation, something like that. And then AJ Styles, so AJ beat him in the tag match on the finals that night. Young Bucks lost the junior titles.
Yeah.
To Red Dragon. But
Dragon always wins. Well, fucking Red Dragon.
All the time, yo.
Whoever, they get the craziest push ever.
Whoever has the NJPW junior tag team titles, they lose. They never defend them. Watch the shit. They never defend the titles. They always lose it. So I'm not surprised. So Red Dragon's going to lose whoever they defend against next. Who might be Times Wiz, it might be Red Dragon, it might be Young Bucks. I don't know. They're going to lose. This is how the shit goes.
You can never have a sustained run.
And then Ricochet and Kushida had a great match.
Match was crazy.
That
he had tweeted about it. So I had to like look it up. Even though, you know, I didn't see everything in succession for the final. I was like, yo, I just got to see. And I followed him on Instagram. I was like, crazy.
The dude he's amazing.
Yeah, he has it. If he's not the next person to sign to NXT, I don't know who
he's
it.
He's got to learn to cut a promo. Like, if you ever seen him talk, like, I hope they can figure that out. But
he has the look.
He's got everything. He's got the total package. He's a high flyer. He can wrestle. He can take a bump. And he does shit that you've never seen before in the ring. Like, him and Kushida had a great match. It was built for Ricochet to lose because, you know, he's taking a little break from Lucha Underground before he goes back. So he did some bookings in New Japan, which... Kushida's the guy, you know, like his Kimura, the way he puts it on in so many different ways, is I love that shit.
Yeah.
But all in all, like, G1 was a great tournament. It was a grind this year, like 18 nights of wrestling is a fucking lot of wrestling.
It's like, a shitload.
I was ODing on, like, I couldn't.
To catch up?
It was rough.
I got sporadic after like 8-10, like day 10?
Like, you
got
to skip the tag matches, get straight to the tournament matches. And then even then, like, when you see Takahashi wrestle, you're like, ah, no thanks. So you see, like, Doc Gallows wrestle, you're like, nope, I'm good.
Doc Gallows is weird to me. I'm not a fan of Doc Gallows.
It's Bullet Club, man. It's whatever. But, yeah, that's it for the G1. We'll see what happens next. Like I said, Tanahashi and Okada, Wrestle Kingdom 2016. Book it. It's going to be amazing.
Yo, so we're still here at Agenda in the Venetian in Las Vegas. We don't feel like taking a break because we got to get this show done.
Nah,
we got shit to do. We got stuff to look at.
Yeah.
So we're just going to power through. And boxing. We got some official stuff going on in boxing.
Canelo and Cotto. It's booked. November 21st, Mandalay Bay. Yes. That's all we wanted. That's all I wanted.
That's it. Have it official.
Like, I ranked the pay-per-views in a piece I did for Sheridan today. There's four pay-per-views to close out the year. We got Lemieux and Golovkin. We got Floyd and Berto. We have Cotto and Canelo, and then we have Mayorga and Mosley. And
are you really counting Mayorga?
It's a pay-per-view. I'm going to count it.
Okay.
And here's why. Mayorga and Mosley.
Are you buying it?
Nah, I'm gonna be there. I'm going.
Like, oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm going. I'm going to be at Mayorga and Mosley.
I'll be at the Mahrez fight.
Yeah, everybody else is going to be at the Mahrez fight. I'm going to end up covering that for somebody else. So I'll end up being there doing some reports because nobody's going to that shit. It's going to be me, Shane, and... maybe Mayorga if he shows up. That's about it.
Maybe.
But here's my thing about that fight. As bad as it is and how shot-worn those two guys are, and I think, like, Shane has been, like, he sounds like brain damage these days. That fight could be wildly entertaining for as long as it lasts.
Yo, they're just going to just throw haymakers.
That's it.
They ain't got nothing to lose.
So, in terms of entertainment value, that fight might be better than Mayweather-Berto, which sucks.
You're... shortchanging Mayweather because he's going to go out there and throw hands.
You really do?
He's going to be, not the normal Mayweather.
So let's just say Mayweather has this fight with Berto, and we'll go back to the rest of these pay-per-views in a minute. Mayweather gets clipped by Berto. He goes in defense mode, and he's going to shut him down for the rest of the fight. He's not going
to
risk it.
But he's not going to get clipped. I think he's just going to be quick enough, and he wants the power, and he wants to train.
We'll see.
You know, to get the knockout.
We'll see.
You're going to see a different Mayweather.
I don't care. Like, again, don't care about that fight. What are we, about 4 weeks out? I don't like nothing. No bone in my body has moved me to say, yo, this Mayweather Berto fight of the year, son, fight of anything. It should be free television.
I mean, the Canelo fight isn't going to be that much better. It's going to be, it's interesting, man, because it go a lot of ways. We haven't seen Cotto fight anyone Canelo.
That's why it's a good fight. Like, you really can't pick who's going to win that. It's that. Like, everybody's giving Canelo the edge because of his youth, but it's not a foregone conclusion. Berto's not beating Mayweather. On no planet is Andre Berto beating Floyd Mayweather.
I'm dropping 20 on him to win, though.
Of course, if Mayweather takes a dive, that's the only way that's just going to happen. There's no drama in that fight. Like, leading up to that fight, you don't see it. Canelo and Cotto, there's so many subplots. Mexico versus Puerto Rico, the young star against the established future Hall of Famer.
I better see my Puerto Ricans out here, too. We better out in full force.
It's going to be wild.
It's a damn near home game for Canelo. It can't be packed full of Mexicans. My Puerto Ricans better show up.
Yo, it's going to be a great fight. Canelo's not just going to wash Cotto. And Cotto never has a boring fight.
Nah, never.
You know, unless he's fighting somebody like Austin Trout. Even then, he tried to make that one look exciting. But Canelo Cotto has fight of the year written all over it. It won't be fight of the year. It'll be a good fight. But I'm picking Canelo to win, but there's a lot of intrigue. And if you throw Andre Ward on that card, it's that much better.
Oh, yeah. If Andre Ward's on there, shit, he doesn't want to fight on BET again.
Nah, hell no.
He might as well come collect the check, tune up for a Triple G fight.
Yeah, because, I mean,
build an audience so you're worthy to fight Triple G on pay-per-view.
Because now, like, you have Triple G and Lemieux, which is going to be...
It's going to be good.
The fact that you got Roman Gonzalez against Brian Vellora on the undercard, between those four fighters, there are 100 knockouts in 100 and I think 59 total fights. 100 knockouts. That's ridiculous.
Can't go wrong with that.
And the only person who really ruins the percentage is Brian Vellora, because he's knocked out like 25 of 33 opponents. Everybody else has got like an 80 to 90% knockout rate.
Crazy.
So if you're looking for action, get Lemieux and Golovkin. If you're looking for ridiculousness in the wild brawl, get Mayorga and Mosley. If you're looking for the best total package, it's Cotto and Canelo. If you're looking for a farewell sparring match, get Mayweather Berto.
Damn. Treat it like the fourth option.
It is.
You ain't got no love for Mayweather? That hurts.
Nah, as much as I love Floyd, I think he's the best fighter on the planet. This fight is not entertaining.
Let's hope for 50 then. Let's hope for 50. Talking about entertaining fights, UFC. Chris Weidman locked it in for UFC 194.
Yes.
Cards coming together.
Yeah. That card is loaded already.
Crazy.
And I'm just glad it's here, not Texas Stadium. Like, it's not Cowboy Stadium. I'm just glad it's here.
We finally get to see Aldo McGregor. We get to see Weidman Rockhold, which is a complete toss-up. So both fights are complete toss-ups.
Yeah. And for the record, I'm going to say it now, and I might change my mind. I'm picking Luke to win this fight to beat Chris Weidman.
Damn. I said if anyone was going to beat Weidman, it'd be a fighter like Luke.
Luke Rockhold has everything in terms of the ground game, the striking, his jiu-jitsu, his wrestling. Like, he's... The only thing is that Weidman's a better offensive wrestler than him. But I don't know, like, I don't think Weidman's as dynamic of a striker as Luke Rockhold. So, yo.
And Weidman leaves his jaw open a lot.
It's hard to hurt Chris Weidman. Weidman's got a chin on him.
Oh, we got Romero on that card as well?
Yeah, well, this is like the third or fourth time they try to book Romero and Jacare. But whoever wins that fight gets the next middleweight title shot.
Yeah.
Yo, the card is loaded. Loaded.
Woo.
I feel bad for 191 now, because like 191 looks like shit compared to 194 and like 189.
192 looks dope too, though.
That's what I'm saying.
191 is just kind of getting lost in the shuffle.
And even though I think it's going to be a great card, I think even the Arlovski-Mir fight is going to be great. I think DJ and Dotson might be
great
a fight,
fight
of the year.
Yeah.
It's just when you talk about how loaded these cards are, the fact you put Rockhold and Weidman underneath McGregor and Aldo. And
which breaks the rule again, by the way. McGregor's a rule breaker. If you're the lightest person with a title match, you got to be under. Nope.
The biggest star.
He is the headliner.
Yeah, the biggest star. The one's going to draw. And that's the most anticipated fight. And he's the lowest rated fighter out of everybody in those two main events. McGregor,
yeah.
It's...
He's still ranked third? He's still behind Frankie?
Yeah, well...
He has the title.
Well, because he hasn't beaten somebody like Frankie yet. Beating Mendez, a lot of people weren't convinced. It's a two-week notice fight. It is what it is. I talked to Frankie. Frankie said the same thing. He was like, yeah. He was like, McGregor showed me a lot, but you're still fighting a Chad Mendez who was working on 2 weeks.
got him out of here, though.
He did, but it's still 2 weeks, and we saw we clearly saw Chad Mendes gas. Like, we saw what it was. So, of the four fighters, McGregor's the lowest of the four fighters on the pound-for-pound list. Rocco, Weidman, and Jose Aldo, who's still the best pound-for-pound fighter. That's crazy. If McGregor wins, everything changes. Yo, after 194, everything's going to be fucked up in terms of the rankings. Everything.
I'm glad that's your job and not mine.
Yeah.
And then Weidman came out also and said that he wants a John Jones fight, and he's thinking about moving up 205 in a couple years.
Beat Luke Rockhold first.
He thinks Luke is light work, easy.
Yo, John Jones.
He's a supermodel.
John Jones isn't here yet. And John Jones, there's already somebody calling him out named Daniel Cormier. Like, Cormier wants a piece of John Jones. John Jones, I'm coming for you, boy. Like, that dude is coming for him. So to worry
by
about.
By the time John Jones comes back, Cormier might be 40.
No, I'm just saying.
Get his ass out of here.
Weidman don't need to worry about John Jones right now. Weidman needs to worry about Luke Rockhold and then the winner of Jacare and Yoel Romero. That's it. Like, chill on all that super fight shit. Everybody's talking about super fight gets
super
their ass
fight.
Busted.
I was talking to some UFC people the other day, and I was like, yo, the only UFC super fight I could really see happening is at the lower weights. If you get, like, a Mighty Mouse versus TJ. Because TJ lost to Dodson, so Mighty Mouse beats him twice. It's like, okay, like, yo, we can see this shit.
And that's not even a super fight.
That technically is super fight. I mean, it's title versus title, champ versus champ.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you call it, you know. But at the end of the day, it turns into like a catchweight fight. It's like, it's not as big as like Pettis and Aldo was a big fight. Super fights just don't exist because guys lose too easy in
too
MMA.
Too quick. Right now, my boy just showed up, Ray P from theshootgame.com. We're here at Agenda. He just walked by. I had to tell him come sit down, and I pulled him over because he's always giving me shit about the Hood Classics. So he is religiously watching all the Hood films on Netflix and all this shit. Backstory real quick. We grew up together in New York in the Bronx, and he always watched these. Like, he'd be at his crib all the time watching Paid in Full, New Jack City. These are all his movies. So the day that we do a list, he happens to walk by, so I had to tell him to sit down. Top five Hood classics movies. I give him the mic so he can speak, but it's crazy, and I know his list is going to be so left field from mine. What's your top five, yo? Introduce yourself. Hold on. It's Rapey.
What's going on, people? My name is Ray P. I'm the editor over at theshootgame.com. Photographer, videographer, janitor, whatever you want to call me. I really don't care. I'm reading his list right now, and I would say it's probably 90%, like, not agreeable.
That's no order.
Even if it was no order, I don't agree with 90% of it. Are we just talking about, like, black movies? Or, because I consider Goodfellas a hood classic.
Yeah, we got to talk about urban classes.
Okay.
Ghetto phenomenons. Because, yeah, Goodfellas is, that's the,
I mean,
In
Too Deep is nowhere on this list.
In Too Deep?
Classic.
Oh, shit.
You ain't no cop, J. Reed. That's
you,
a classic.
I can tell you and Kel grew up together. God damn. In Too Deep? Ugh.
Nah, I mean, you, Omar Epps, when he went to where they said he was from Ohio or whatever, he was trying to infiltrate the gang. And I was like, what do they sell out there in Ohio? Corn? And, like, what's crazy is me going to Ohio for the first time and seeing what it looked like.
Uh-huh.
I can only imagine back in the 90s, they were just like, yo, this dude comes from a farm town. How is he, you know, pushing any type of weight? What is he doing in New York City? So I feel like that was classic because, I mean, you had LL Cool J almost in his prime in that movie.
Nope.
That's a classic. What else we got? Training Day is a classic.
Damn, Deep Cover wasn't on the list. I forgot about Deep Cover.
No, Deep Cover is on
oh,
there.
Oh, it is. Well, it doesn't crack my top five.
I wouldn't agree with Deep Cover. Juice definitely got to be top three.
Yeah, that's not my number one.
Belly got to be in the top three.
Nope.
Boys in the Hood. I would agree with Boys in the Hood. City of God, I'm not sure if I can consider that an urban.
Yeah, it's hard. It's like a world classic. Like,
it is. Yeah. Did you see the sequel, City of Men?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Amazing. Not as good as City of God, but damn good movie.
Set It Off is up there. I don't know if it'll top 10. Paid in Full, top five. I don't know if you would consider it in a top 10, but I mean, State Property is a strong, worthy of a mention.
See, like, State Property, like, I'm about it. Like, shit like that has its own category. Because they're terrible movies at the end of the day.
State Property was filmed terribly. The quality is terrible. The movie's dope. You can't hate on State Property.
Yo, what is the movie? I can't even think of it right now. Where Cameron spit on the kid. What the fuck movie was that?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, with Cameron spit on. Yeah, that's.
Yo, like I'm about. Like, these are movies I watch and I'm entertained, but they're shitty movies at the end of the day.
I mean, Paid in Full didn't have the best quality ever, but that shit's still dope. It still landed number one on my list.
Paid in Full was a good movie. Like, people who see Paid in Full will agree that Paid in Full is a good movie. People who saw, like, I'm About It, nobody agrees that I'm About It is a good movie. Same with State Property. Like, you see State Property, you're like, yeah, okay. It's entertaining, but it's like, get the fuck out of here. This shit looks terrible.
And Straight Outta Compton, like, I was looking, I was like, is that really a hood classic? Like, could it go down as a hood classic?
Yeah.
Because then on my list, I was like, yo, is Above the Rim.
That's a hood flick.
It's in a hood flick.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Above the Rim would have been fine.
Yeah, Above the Rim is definitely up there, for sure. I mean, it's relevant just straight off the meme game. Like,
right?
Dwayne Wade on a dude in the park pulling out the pistol. Like, that's one of the most relevant memes on Twitter right now.
Above the Rim, classic. Birdie, like, come on. Pac, Boogaloo, come on.
But Straight Outta Compton, I feel like because it was a biopic, it's in a different category than a lot of these things we're talking about. Like, I mean, it's a biopic, not a loosely based on real events that happened with, you know, big-time drug dealers or whatever. Like, these were entertainers, and that was the basis of the
movie. Paid in Full was pretty close, too, then. Alpo, like, those guys existed.
Yeah, it was loosely based on, you know, Harlem events, but I feel like it was based on events that happened with, like, I guess you would call them hood celebrities, like drug dealers and those kind of dudes, as opposed to, like, rappers.
I feel what you're saying. But it'll still fall in my hood classic. Like, Boys in the Hood would be a hood classic. I don't know. That's just me. I get it, though. I get your perspective on it. Because it's something that really happened. Like, the James Brown movie is not like a hood classic.
Exactly. Yeah.
Get on up, it's not a hood classic.
It's like a whole different genre of movies.
Yeah.
And going through the list, like, American Gangster wasn't on the list.
It's not in my
not
time.
Enough time, but that was dope.
Frank Lucas is based on a true story, too, so it's...
Yeah, yeah, it could fall into, like, one of the hood classic joints, and there's just so many. Like, shout-out to Netflix for having, like, a ton of these. It's just, it's upped the Netflix and chill nights. This is why people will be like, yo, just come over.
Yo, you want to know what a hood classic is? Have you seen Snow in the Bluff?
I have not seen Snow in the Bluff.
Yo.
Snow in the Bluff is... It gotta be top 10.
Yo, that shit is so stupid. But
I watched that for the very first time when it released. I was in Atlanta. My dude was like, yo, you should come check this out. This kind of shows you what the Atlanta is that people rap about. You hear trap music, but you don't ever see the real ghettos of Atlanta. And Snow on the Bluff is one of the most craziest things because you go through the whole movie thinking like, yo, is this real?
The whole movie.
And they're showing you real hoods in Atlanta. You can't understand half of the things these people are saying, so you got to watch like maybe 2-3 times to get it. But it's rough. It's rougher than 90% of New York or LA movies that have been created. It's a classic.
People don't understand. Like I went to Morehouse, and the Swatch is right across the street from Morehouse. I don't know why there's always a hood. Like, the projects are always across the street from a black college. It's the way it goes. You go to Howard, it's the same thing. But yeah, growing up over there, like, I got robbed in the Swatch. You know, tall college kids, like, don't cross the street. And I had no way else to get to the MARTA, which is the transit. Got robbed at gunpoint. And it was like, it was dope houses everywhere. Like, right across the street from Morehouse. Like, when you went to Domino's Pizza, anybody who went to Morehouse from, like, late 90s to, like, the mid-2000s, where there was, like, Stiegel's and, like, Domino's Pizza, you knew that you didn't cross at a certain hour because your ass was getting robbed. It was over. You might not come back. So when I saw Snow in the Bluff, I was like, oh, shit.
Was it pretty accurate to...
From what I saw, yeah. Like, Cats was in pushing, like, rock. Cats was pushing heroin, like, on the regular. Like, that shit was real. When I saw Snow in the Bluff, it's like, you're watching the movie, and you're like, it's like, the whole time, I'm like, this shit can't be real. Like, the entire time, like, this can't be real.
Yo, I got to stay out of Atlanta. Like, I see Atlanta, and I think, like, Love and Hip Hop.
That's like the strip, and you see, like, Vegas is the strip. Like, Atlanta is not, like...
I went to Atlanta like once. I went to the mall. It was like a bunch of interesting characters.
Greenbrier, Lennox?
Lennox.
Okay, Lennox has changed over the years.
Yeah, there was a different demographic in that mall.
Well, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, so, like, I was just like, this Atlanta, though? Like, that, and everyone's like, yeah, we hang out at the skating rink and all this shit. I'm just like, well, this is a T.I. movie? Like, that's my idea of Atlanta. So I got to see this.
I love
it. Snow in the Bluff.
Watch Snow in the Bluff, then you'll probably be scared to ever go to Atlanta for the rest of your life.
So I recently rewatched Snow in the Bluff because I browsed Netflix religiously for the past 8 years. So I was at home with my girl trying to pick a movie, and she's never seen it. I was like, oh, nah, you got to watch this. You have to. I'm not even going to tell you what it's about because I'll ruin it for you.
Yeah,
but the way it starts is just as crazy as the way it ends. And from people I know from Atlanta, it's a very accurate depiction of the hood.
This is a sequel, by the way. I'm not going to watch it. Anything, a sequel for that shit, never going to watch it. I just want to preserve what I saw the first time, and it fucked me up. Like, watching Snow in the Bluff, I was like, this can't be real.
Yeah. Just, Kel, be happy that you don't know that side of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Because I don't either. I go to Atlanta every 3 months. I go to Stone Mountain, a little bit away from the city.
Yeah, that's a little out the way.
You know, I'll hit up American Deli, and that's as authentic of Atlanta experience I want to have, because it's real out there.
Yo.
It's real.
Snow in the Bluff, people. If you haven't watched it yet, watch it. Email us, tweet us, let us know what you think. If any of you say it didn't surprise me, I'm going to call you a fucking liar. Because 5 minutes in the movie, you're going to be like, what the fuck am I watching? That's the first thing I said. What the fuck am I watching? And I paused it. Went and got my wife. I was like, watch this. And she was like, what the fuck are we watching? I called my homeboy. I was like, yo, let's all watch this shit together in real time. And we were texting each other, and everybody kept saying, what the fuck? That's the only things we said to each other for like 2 hours. The fuck? The fuck was that? The fuck is this?
Yo, I got to watch that like ASAP. Like this weekend, I'm going to sit down and just live tweet through it. And I didn't get some people on my timeline to watch that shit with me.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, watch it with people. It's the best way to watch it. Like, and then when you see it, you're going to enjoy introducing it to somebody else because you know what you're about to watch. They have no fucking idea. Nobody has a clue what they're about to get into. That shit is like next level ridiculous. Like, remember when Blair Witch Project came out? People was like, is that real?
Yeah.
This is worse than that. This
like, it's like Blair Witch for black people?
Yeah, it was like that scary too? Well, actually, yes. All right? Yes. If I saw a dude in the street, I'd be like, yo, you're not an actor. Or, like, don't shoot me. Like, it's fucked up. Just go see it.
Crazy. So, right now, we got to go back to agenda. We got to walk around. We got shit to do.
We haven't talked about UFC this weekend.
Oh, the UFC this weekend.
You're so in a hurry to go inside and see all the ass inside.
Yo, there's a nice crowd in there, I guess.
See?
I'm more hyped for, like, the parties and stuff tonight. I guess the weekend is here.
I'm not going out.
At Dre's. You're not going out? You're going to be an old-ass man?
I've gone out every Magic, and I get washed every Magic and agenda. And this year, I'm good.
Why you got to be an old man for?
Because I got work to do, bro. I got bills to pay. Like, I can't go to – I don't want to see the weekend tonight.
You can work at any time.
No, I can't. If I go – like, I can't work at any time. I got to work on the allotted hours when I'm awake, right? I don't need to be at a nightclub tonight. I'm good.
Sleep is overrated. So we're going to talk Andreas into going out tonight. But first, let's talk UFC.
Saskatoon.
Thank you for pronouncing
that
correctly.
All I really care about is Max Holloway and Rafael Oliveira. Like, that's the only match I really care about is the headlining. Max Holloway took Conor McGregor to the limit. I'm picking Holloway. I think Holloway's got a bright future ahead of him. Even though he's lost against some tough competition, he's doing the Canelo.
Yes.
He's young and taking tough fights now. And as he gets older, could be a future champion.
Holloway moved up in weight, right?
Nah, he's been featherweight.
Same division,
yeah.
Huh? Oh, Conor has to give him another shot.
He just took some L's. That's all it was. So, and that's all I really wanted to talk about with that card.
Now, Holloway is good. I always kind of think he's going to lose going into these fights because he does pick just tough opponent after tough opponent.
They tell him, you want to fight him? He's like, sure. And the kid's only like 23.
Yo, and he's just crazy talented. And we'll see what he does this weekend because it's a big stepping stone. That division's so wide open.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So we have to really just see who's next. And then we get Aldo and see if he's going to remain king of that division or if Conor McGregor's the real deal. And stuff starts to shake up a little bit.
I mean, and Charles Oliveira's no joke. I call him Rafael. I don't know why. But Charles Oliveira's no joke. He's been on a nice little run, too. So it should be a great fight. Eric Silva and Neil Magny's on the card. Magny just coming off of like
on the first August 1st, Magny fought, took the L.
It's like, I'm ready, and you're gonna get in there with Eric Silva? That's a bad pull, bro. But
he had won 7 in a row before then.
Yeah, but Eric Silva is still, he's on the cusp. He's one of those guys. Like when Eric Silva's on, he's one of the top 10 in that division. When he's off, he's off. So hope Magny gets him when he's off. We'll see. Berkman and Cote is on the card. Josh Berkman.
Berkman kind of needs to win.
He does. Right? He made his
back.
He had
he's had
run.
Great fights.
Yeah, he had a nice run through World Series.
Yeah,
and he got the call back to UFC. Had a tough fight with Lombard, but Lombard steroid barred, whatever.
Yeah,
you know, shit happens. So yeah, he does need to win. Cote's old, kind of washed out, and
it's a good fight for him.
Yeah, rest of the card is it's Saskatoon. East Javon is on there. Sam Stout is on there. Chris Beal's on there. It's in Saskatoon. Like, who the fuck lives in Saskatoon?
I don't even know where the fuck Saskatoon is. Saskatoon.
Hey, called Global Expansion. We're going to go everywhere. Scandinavia is next. So
our Canadian listeners are just going to fucking kill me.
They're going to fucking murder us.
For not being able to pronounce Saskatoon.
But it is what it is. I know where Saskatoon is. It's cold as fuck.
I don't plan on ever going to Saskatoon.
Max Holloway, him and Oliveira, more power to you for having a fight in Saskatoon. Good luck.
So next week we're coming back. We'll have guests for you next week. We're going to bring some people in. We got a lot of people to catch up with.
Indeed.
We've been moving around a lot this past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be our slow weeks, our off weeks.
Never.
And it's been crazy. So stay tuned. Thank you guys for listening to us. Thanks, everyone, for supporting us. Make sure if you're on iTunes and you're subscribing to us, rate us and also leave, like, a nice little comment. I read that shit. So it's cool to, like, hear what you guys think about the show. And thanks for supporting us. Follow me on Twitter, at Kel Dansby.
You can follow me, at Andreas L. Everything that Kel said, I don't give a shit what you say. Like, if you want to comment and say this show sucks, go for it.
Yo, one person said you sucked when you ran Hip Hop DX. I read the comments. Yo, that shit would have me dying.
That person is a liar. Like, he don't even know the era I ran DX in, idiot. So it is what it is. He's just trolling. Just trolling. That's why I don't
trolls.
Read the shit.
See?
I don't care.
See, you got to stay away from the trolls. All right, yo, so we'll be back next week with another great episode. But for now, we out.
Peace.
On the corners, niggas robbing, killing, dying, just to make a living.
We overstated, we underrated, we educated. The corner was our time when time stood still and gators and snakeskins and yellow and